Thanks, guys. Well, it is good to be in church today, I'm telling you. When I came in this morning, there's a little Hope Church sign out there, and I hugged it. I'm like, hello, Hope Church. It's been about 20 days that Sharon and I have been, well, maybe not as much for a little bit out of commission. We both have had COVID, and it really beat on us. And I didn't think a person who had COVID a year and a half ago and has done everything I'm supposed to do can get COVID again. But I did, and I'm telling you what, you've never looked more beautiful than you do right now. It's great to be here. So this week, I haven't been doing much. Haven't been doing much for a while, so I'm glad to be here. But I was in Sam's, and I thought, man, I just want a watermelon. And anybody like watermelon? Have you ever picked a bad watermelon? Yeah, I do not pick a bad watermelon. Matter of fact, there was a lady in there. She goes, do you know anything about watermelons? And I'm like, of course I do. Let me just show you. Pull up this little picture. You need to get this in your head. If you can master this, you will never pick a bad watermelon. You know those orange spots that you think it looks rotten? Those are good spots. I had no idea there was a male and a female watermelon. I had no idea that large webbing means that you get a better watermelon. And Sharon and I, we've had fun with this. We've had contests. Who can pick the best watermelon? And this week I was so happy to share with this lady. She looked so helpless at the watermelons. I'm like, no, let me just pull this up. And she's like, you're looking on your phone? I said, oh yeah, this is perfect. And pulled up my phone, showed her the picture, and she goes, this is a good watermelon. I'm like, yeah. And I mean, I've enjoyed that watermelon. If you want to take a picture of this after church, you can. I'm going to put it right up here. We're going to do an altar call right there for you to put that on your phone. I do not want you having to spend $6 on a watermelon and have it not be good. Learn it, enjoy it. That's how you need to look at the armor of God. Paul says, hey, I want to help you have a better life. Apply these principles and you're going to be able to stand no matter what life throws at you. Picking up from a couple of weeks ago, we have hope because of Jesus Christ. He wants to help our hurts. He wants to help with our hangups. He wants to be there for us. And we've already talked about a belt of truth. What is truth? We need to understand truth because there's a lot of untruth in our world. I cannot believe I read an article this week about the new chancellor, the person who's over all of the chaplains at Harvard. He's an atheist. And he said, we do not need to look to God for answers. We need to look to one another. This is why we need God. We have absolutely lost our minds. Paul says, there is a God. He'll bring you hope. I'm in prison because I believe in this God, and I want to tell you how to make it when things get hard. Says there's a belt of truth, there's a breastplate of righteousness. And when you put these two together, you're able to stand firm. And it goes on and it says, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Some people have called this the sandals of the gospel. What Paul is talking about here is the sandals that the Roman soldier wore. They were tightly attached to their feet. They were sandals and they were ready. They were ready for the battle. They were ready for action. And I read they were kind of like, when I first started golfing, our golf shoes had like metal spikes on the bottom of them. And this is kind of what the Roman sandal was, like with nails studded through there so they could grip whatever type of terrain they were going to be subject to. The word shod means that you bind something very tightly. It's not a picture of a shoe that loosely fits. It's a picture of a shoe that is so attached to the foot that you can do anything you want to do and you're not going to have that shoe slip. Paul uses this as an example when he talks about peace. What is strapped to the soles of your life is either going to give you peace or you're going to have the peace knocked right out of you. Paul is saying there is a peace. There is a peace that comes from God. And I know what Pastor Kevin talked about. I mean, there's hard stuff going on in our world. There was hard stuff in my world the last few weeks. I mean, it's not easy to not be able to breathe. It's not easy to be at the ER, leaving your wife in there for hours, not knowing if she's ever going to come out of the ER. And I'm not talking about things that I'm not living. I'm not talking about things that I'm not experiencing. But when I was there sitting in the parking lot in the middle of the night, wondering if my wife was going to be able to come home with me, I had peace. I had peace with whatever God did, God's going to do, but I'm going to trust him no matter what. I'm going to tell you, in this life, you can get the peace knocked right out of you. And that's why Paul is saying here, you can stand firm when you shod your feet with the preparation and the gospel of peace. We need to bind that peace on our minds, upon our emotions, the same way the Roman soldier bound that to their feet so they were able to stand. I love this section of scripture in Philippians. And this is something I'm telling you, I had to apply to my life. I was so sick the last couple of weeks. I mean, it was good. I spent a lot of time in God's Word. I mean, I don't know, I'm 50-some days ahead of our Bible reading. I hope you're actually reading the Bible. I hope you're actually praying, because when your life turns upside down, there is a God who can keep your peace even when life is hard. It says this, it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I'm telling you, I've lived in this in the last week or so. And, you know, Sharon had planned to come this morning. She's just not feeling up to it. Are we doing well spiritually? Absolutely. Our bodies have kind of taken a beating. But it doesn't mean that I'm not doing well. I mean, my body hurts. I feel like, I know I'm old. I feel like I'm even older today, kind of slouched over this going, can you hear me? But here's the reality. We, in the midst of COVID, in the midst of trials in Afghanistan, in the midst of a hurricane, in the midst of whatever comes our way, there is a peace that comes from God that is not predicated upon circumstances. You can't live your life always at Disneyland. And I grew up right by Disneyland. We went to Disneyland hundreds of times. And it was so fun, but life is not all Disneyland. Life sometimes is going, oh my goodness, I don't know if Sharon's going to walk out of the ER and how am I going to deal with this? Life sometimes is super brutal on us, but it doesn't mean that we can't have peace. But how do you get that peace in the midst of life falling apart? Do you know how important your prayers have been? Your prayers have been so important to me. Oh my goodness, when I heard Pastor Kevin praying for us the last 2 weeks, something just rose up in me. And I, you know, sometimes if you're sick, I don't know that you're sick unless you tell us. The scripture says to call for the elders of the church and have them pray. And I called for the elders of the church. Pray for Sharon. I mean, I don't know, it was 2 o'clock in the morning. I said, please pray, because Sharon's so sick, I don't know what's going to happen. And then there's a peace that comes. I knew you were praying for me. And it sustained me. I knew that I had to make a choice, either dig into my faith or my faith is not worth the fact that I'm even going to think about digging into it. I dug into my faith and I found encouragement in the Word of God. I found encouragement. And in the midst of all of it, and it was not easy, I found peace. And I want to tell you today, this is a part of the armor that matters. Because it's easy to get the peace knocked right out of you. It's easy to just be absolutely overcome with fear. It's easy to not even exist because we're so terrified of what could happen. That is not how God wants us to live. He wants us to be smart, obviously. He wants us to be prudent, but he wants us to trust him. I know that was your phone was so anointed by what I said. It said, praise the Lord, preach, preacher. This was a riot. One of my friends sent me this verse when I was just struggling. And it says, a final word, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. I'm like, that is such a great verse. Wait a minute. That's Ephesians chapter 6. That's what we're studying. Had no idea we're studying this. I'm like, that is a great verse. Be strong in the Lord. I don't have the strength in myself. I'm a pretty strong person. Strong personality, but I don't have the strength. But there's a strength that goes beyond my strength. There's a strength that comes from God Almighty. And I could care less if some ridiculous atheist is in charge of the chaplains at Harvard. He is not thinking correctly. And one day he's going to figure that out. The scripture says that every knee will bow. Every knee will bow. I want to bow my knee now. This week I bow a knee and I couldn't even get up. I mean, I'm like, I'm so tired. I ate breakfast. I go back to bed. I'm like, oh, it's time for lunch. Ate lunch, go back to bed. I mean, my staff's like, man, you look terrible. Well, thank you. But I did. God's plan for you is to experience his peace. But it doesn't work when you have a loosely fitting faith. My faith only works because I have pursued it. And I'm not there yet, but I'm telling you, when I didn't know what was going to happen, I had Jesus. I had my sweet Jesus. I had peace in the midst of thinking some of the most awful things were going to happen in my life. And that is what we talk about. When we talk about there is a reality, there's a reality that we can have a peace that allows us to stand. And that same reality is a reality that can help us to share. There are people right now who need to know there's hope in Jesus. There are people right now who need to know there is a faith that works. How will they know if you and I are not going to share with them? How will they know if we are silent? This is what the author of Romans wrote, for everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Isn't that beautiful? You don't have to work your way to do this. Everyone, every single one of us, no matter what you've done, no matter what, every one of us who calls upon the name of the Lord can be saved. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him unless they've heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless somebody tells them? And how can anyone go to tell them without being sent? That's why the scripture says, how beautiful are the feet of the messengers who bring good news. Wherever my sandals take me, I'm not only able to stand, I'm able to share what God has done in my life. I'm able to share that I believe the prayers of God's church have made a difference in my life. I'm able to share in the midst of really hard times. And I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I'm holding on to who knows tomorrow. That's a peace, and people need to know this, and they're not going to know unless you and I share with them. If you've read the Bible at all, you'll know that some of the very last words of Jesus in Matthew 28, he talks about all authority has been given to him, and he is who he said he was going to be, and he says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Oh my goodness, friends, this has been such a blessing to me. I know that God has carried us. I know that God has helped us. I don't know a whole lot. I mean, you can have your opinion about COVID. You can have your opinion about shots. You can have your opinion about this. You can have your opinion about that. Fantastic. Here's what I know. God carried me. That's what I know. So there's another part of these scriptures that say, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, take the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. There is a shield that happens when we have faith in God Almighty that is powerful. For the Roman soldier, this was a shield about 4 feet tall, 2 feet wide, that they literally could hide behind. It's much like a door, and this is actually what the word door is derived from. A person could put their entire body behind this, and they could absorb the fiery arrows, the javelins, all of the flaming arrows that would stick into this thing, and most of them would go out. One person wrote it like this. During battles, these great shields would often bristle with fiery, smoking arrows like a roasted porcupine. Paul is talking about here is we're in a battle. We're in a battle, and there's warfare, and the enemy is going to launch arrows into our lives, and we need to have a faith that works. I can tell you that there are a lot of things that can come against us. You know, there's illness. There's tragedy, our own sins, persecution. There are things that happen in our minds that say, I can't trust God. I doubt God. Is there even a God? There are fiery darts that assault our minds, doubting, evil thoughts. And then there's a shield that literally can pour cold water on these. It's a faith that's more than faith. It's a faith, and then it's a way that I trust and I conduct my life. I read this, I think this was in, I don't know what day it was, maybe 284 in our daily reading, but I read this just yesterday. It says, it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and he's a rewarder of those who seek him. There comes a point when I don't have the answer. There comes a point when you don't have the answer. There comes a point when darts are flying at you and you have to decide, what are you going to believe? What are you going to believe? Either God is a God who he says he is or he's not. I mean, I had to make that choice this week. God, you're God of healing. I have to trust you, but I don't know what's going to happen. But I'm going to trust you. I don't believe it's an exaggeration to say here on earth there could be a multiple of thousands of fiery darts that are launched at you if you truly have a faith in God. I don't think that's an exaggeration. John writes this later in his life. He says, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Our faith, again, is not just some pie in the sky. It's that there is a God. He created this world. His son died for you and me that we might find life and that we can trust him when there's nothing else that we can trust. And unfortunately, in this world, there are a lot of things that are, I'm not afraid of this world, but there are a lot of things that are speaking against the word of God. And I'm not going there. Because that atheist wasn't there when I was struggling, wondering if my wife was going to be okay. But my God was there. I'm excited to know that God can handle my tough questions. I'm excited that God, at times when my life has fallen apart, can handle my doubt. I'm excited that God Almighty is God Almighty. And you got to figure out what you're going to put your faith in. You got to figure out what you're really going to trust. That's why he says here, it's impossible to please God unless we trust him. I mean, there is a battle. There is confusion all around us. The sky seems to be raining with glowing shafts to try to convince us to doubt, to hide, to absolutely be paralyzed with fear. Our shield is from God. Our shield is from God, and we raise it to God. And oh, friends, that is a help. In Psalms, it says this, we put our hope in the Lord. He is our help. He is my shield. He is my shield. For the Lord God is our sun and our shield. He gives us grace and glory. The Lord will withhold no good thing from those who do what is right. I thought about this when I was outside of the ER and, you know, I just had tears streaming down my face. I thought, what if I didn't spend time in prayer? What if I didn't spend time in God's word? I don't think I would have faith right now to trust that God could do anything. What if I didn't enlist the prayers of those who could help lift me up when I was struggling? This is how you stay strong. I mean, there were moments in the last couple of weeks that everything we owned didn't matter. Nothing mattered. But am I right with God? Am I truly following God? Do I talk about faith in God or do I have faith in God? Is the peace getting knocked out of me or am I still solid even though I don't know what's going to happen? I mean, this is where Christianity is more than a thought process. This is where either it's who I am or it's not. I can tell you this, faith is a shield. And if you don't have a trust in God, you're going to have a tough time when things just try to absolutely devastate your life. It's easy to focus on circumstances when we're not at Disneyland. It's easy to focus on what we see instead of realize there is something more real than what we see, and it's God's eternal plan. I wish that every believer would be exempt from the struggles in this world. Everyone would be a Christian. I mean, what a great sermon I could give every Sunday. If you just accept Jesus, your life's gonna be perfect. No, I give sermons like, you're dumb if you don't trust God, because life's gonna fall apart and so are you. Oh, thanks, Jim, I feel so encouraged. I would rather say, if you just accept Jesus, everything's perfect. And there's guys who do that. And they also add a little bit. If you accept Jesus and then give a big check, it'll be even better for you. That's not the Bible. What did Jesus say? In this world, you will have trouble. And you know what I love about Jesus? He has gone through it. I mean, I struggled this week, and all I knew is this: God, you're in heaven, and you were in heaven when they killed the prophets, and you were in heaven when they murdered your son, and I'm having a hard time right now, but you're still in heaven, you're still on the throne, you still are absolutely in control, even though my world feels so out of control. This is not easy. And there's a peace of God that transcends our comprehension, transcends our understanding, and literally it can guard your heart and it can guard your mind. But it's not gonna work if you don't take your faith seriously. I'm excited that we're gonna take communion this morning. And God's not asking you to reach out to him before he's already reached out to you. I don't want anyone to feel bad today unless you need to. I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. I don't know. When Sharon didn't come to church, I texted her, "Are you all right?" And there's those thoughts that, oh no, I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. But I know with Christ, I'm going to be in tomorrow with him. And one day, I'm going to be face to face with him. And it's all because Jesus died in my place. And he said, "Jim, I have come that you might have life and you might have it abundantly. In this world, you're going to have trouble. But don't be of fear. I have overcome the world." Here's kind of the last couple of thoughts I wrote down. If you obey and take up the whole armor, you'll not only be able to trust God's plan, you'll be able to stand strong, and you will quench the devil's attempts to draw you away. Faith and peace, when they come together, bring us absolute strength. Friends, I tell you, I'm so excited to be here today. I'm excited to be anywhere today, actually, but especially here with you. And I know that my body isn't exactly where it needs to be, but I am telling you the truth today that my God is faithful. That my God not only has allowed his son to die for me, he has given me strength to sustain me even when I had no idea what was going to come in the last couple of weeks. And again, I love y'all, and I bless you today, and I encourage you, these are not times to take our faith lightly. These are times when we need to stand strong in the Lord. And just like picking a good watermelon, Paul is saying, let me give you a couple of thoughts here. So when the fiery darts of the enemy come, you are not burned up, you are not burned out, but you are strong in him. How are we going to receive communion today? We're going to, in just a moment or two, I'm going to pray with you, and the folks who are leading us in worship are going to come, and they'll lead a song with us. But there's four tables in the church, two in the front, two in the back, and you'll just kind of receive communion on your own. And what we've done, just so, like, if you're worried about, I don't want to touch what anyone's touching, the little bread is in a cup and the communion juice is in another cup, so just grab two of those. And Paul writes this to the church in Corinth. He says, for I received from the Lord, which I also deliver to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. Think about that. The same night in which they delivered Jesus to the awful abuse, to the mock trials, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. How special is that? In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. You don't have to be a member of Hope Church to receive communion, but you do have to be a member of God's family. So you don't take this in mockery to what he did for you. He literally laid down his life that you and me might have life. And not only just eternal life, but to have life here. To have life here that stands the test of time. The trials that come our way, the confusion when we go to school and they say things that, you know, that just doesn't seem right. Well, it's not right. When a new person in authority says, I'm an atheist, we don't need to trust in a God that we don't know. We'll just trust one another. I'm not banking there. I'm banking right here. And when I receive this communion today, I say, Lord, thank you that your body was broken. Continue to heal my body. Touch my wife. When I receive this juice today, there is not a time I don't say, God, thank you for forgiving me of my sins. I don't want to sin, but I know I do. I'm never going to be sinless, but I want to sin less. God, forgive me. Cleanse me, and thank you for what you've done in my life. Every time I receive communion, I say that. I cannot believe that God would allow his son to die for you and me. I can't understand it, but I am so thankful for it. He has reached out to us before we ever acknowledged him. And I don't know a lot today, friends, but I'm going to tell you this. My anchor's solid. My anchor holds in the storms of life because of the God I serve. And it has a whole lot not to do with me and a whole lot to do with him. And I don't know what you're going through, but I'm going to tell you, I love you today. I appreciate you. And the same God who has given me strength will give you strength. I don't know what students you're going through today and what temptations you're feeling. The same God that I received when I was a teenager has sustained me all these years. It's not old and antiquated, it's actually life. The same God that has helped me one more time, one day has prepared a place for me to meet him in heaven. And I don't know when that is. I have no idea, but I can tell you this, he'll be waiting with his arms open because of Jesus and what we're going to receive in this communion. Let's pray together, and then I'll have you each receive communion. We'll sing one last song, and we'll be able to go. Let's stand together. Father, thank you. Thank you for these friends here. Thank you for Hope at Home, Sharon and the others who are watching. Oh, bless them, God. Encourage them, God. God, I thank you. I thank you that my faith in you because of you is strong today. I thank you that if somebody is here struggling today, that maybe they can learn from what I've learned, that you are real, that you are true, that you are more than able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or imagine because of the riches that are found in Christ Jesus. If we haven't accepted you as our Savior, God, I pray that we would do that, that you would become the CEO of our life, that we wouldn't love the things of this world, but that we would love God. We would love the things that cause substance to be in our life and satisfaction to be in our life, not what we can get, but what we can give. Oh, Jesus, as we receive this communion today, as we receive this bread which represents your body that was brutalized for us, may we receive hope, may we receive health, God, spiritually, physically, emotionally. God, we're sinners. Thank you that Jesus shed his blood, the forgiveness of sin. So at this time, again, there's two tables in the back, two in the front. We encourage you to receive communion, and we'll sing one last song together and be dismissed.